Blog Talk Radio.
I'll keep my freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name? I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Patriot Family Chat. I'm your host today, Linda, filling in for Hollis Buchanan, and I have Bill on the line. He's from Indiana. Hello, Bill. How's it going?
It's going good, Linda. How is it going out there?
Oh, my gosh. This weather is perfect. A whole week and a half of just gorgeous. I wish I could bottle this up and take it back to where you all are.
It was nice here today. It was been close good. To 70. Everything's turning red, green, yellow, brown, yeah. The leaves and everything. So it's beautiful right now here. And
fantastic.
Our political scene here in Indiana's definitely going to be a red state.
Oh, Indiana's, thank God.
I don't see how the Democrats can get any power in Indiana. They can come in here and say what they want, but we've had a surplus the last few years in our state budgets. We've had many things implemented that have helped out our state, and people have realized it. So
sure.
I'm kind of happy right now to be where I'm at.
Praise the Lord. And I was going to also say that we come to this Blog Talk Radio show via PatriotFamilies.com, and that's www.patriotfamilies.com. And I welcome Michael and yourself, of course, and I don't know who's listening because I don't see it on the screen, of course, unless they're in the chat.
Well, I have four people here in my house listening.
Awesome.
And I'm thinking on election night, I want everybody to come on the show and put their phones on speakerphone. Invite people to your houses. Let's get a whole bunch of people to be there with us on election night, and let's do this right.
Great.
And those that are like Linda that are working the polls and stuff, let's not forget them and keep them in our prayers, because we don't know how in some places that might get. We saw the last election that there's no voter intimidation by the left is okay.
Yeah, you know, here we did not experience it in the primary, which is not usually traditionally a huge turnout anyway. However, we did have a pretty good turnout, and we had a lot of mail-in ballot voting going on. You know, a lot of these seniors around here, they don't want to get out of their homes. Sometimes some areas they don't even have polling places because there are so many seniors, they can't warrant it. You know what I mean? So we have a lot of folks who vote by mail. And even the young ones, it was amazing, because I worked the polls in the primary for the first time in my life, and it was quite an education. I just finished 4 hours of training on that whole deal. Last time I took an extra 3 hours with the Election Integrity Project, and that's a lady, Ruth Weiss. She's amazing. She got me turned on to the ROV, which is the Registrar of Voters here in San Diego, to be able to be a poll worker. They take it seriously. They have poll observers. They have precinct rovers. They have all kinds of hotlines. We can call our registrar voters. We can call anybody we need, you know, if there's any problems. We didn't have any incidences, Bill, in my area. Of course, I'm in North County, and I'm real close to the Marine base. So, you know, anybody who's kind of in the minority group, even if they're Hispanic, they know better. Because Oceanside Police Department, these guys are hot. Most of them are ex-military right from that base. So they don't play.
in my area, we don't usually have a lot of problems because it's usually a lot of rural folks. And my polling station may have 225 people vote there, if that.
Right.
And there are no minorities to speak of at all. So, you know, and most of the people anyway. You've lived around here, around them most of your life. So you know them and their families and stuff. So we don't have those kinds of problems. But the bigger cities are where those problems usually develop.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now. My wife is sitting here going through Halloween candy in front of me. Reese's Cups, Twix, Hershey's, and stuff. Is that not some kind of torture?
Yes, it is. And besides, she has the metabolism to keep her nice and thin. Envious. I am so envious.
Tell you what,
half a piece of Twix for me.
She went to a thing at work the other day, and it was measuring body fat. She says, "I have none." I said, "They had to put you on a machine to tell that."
Yeah, that's funny. Oh my goodness. Well, it's bizarre. Now, what's happened? You know, basically, we've got a lot of, like I said on several shows just in the last few days. We have a lot of very concerned conservatives here. We have, and they kind of coalesce together. There's tons of groups. We all have each other's emails. Everybody's on board. People are doing what they call poll observing, which that is completely legal as long as they don't interfere. They're not allowed, of course, to do any filming or anything during voting time. They can only take their videos before the poll opens to the public, of course, and after they close, and they can observe the procedures. There's just a whole bunch of rules, and there's no electioneering period by anyone except 100 feet away from the desk where those people sign in at the polling booth. So that's basically my understanding, and I've been through these classes so many times I could almost give a class myself now, but it's really good, because I think that everyone should do their civic duties when they can and get involved. Like I said a couple days ago, I said, guys, just get out there off the couch. You cannot make a difference unless you get up and do something.
And never, ever think just because you're one person, you can't make a difference. Every one of us in Patriot families that have went out and done stuff, we've been one individual that's made a difference where we're at or in media or somewhere. I don't know how many people follow you or follow all of us combined on the Internet, but it's got to be an amazing number, especially when you add in Martha. And, oh, my gosh.
And Terry Kiley, oh, my Lord. And then your stuff on Facebook. There, you know, it's funny because you've never met these people, but I have. It's funny, Barbara Decker and all these, Lynn Welke Happel, they know you because of your Facebook page, and they know that you're involved in Agenda 21 and all these other issues. You know, there's tons. I've sent you emails from all these people, and it's really amazing. It's fabulous.
It amazes me when I get my wife in there and I say, look at this.
Yep.
And I said, I can't believe how many people have actually, they hear me. So it's an amazing thing. And I know it happens for all of us, Ron and all of us that are out there. Michael, every one of us, we put ourselves out there and put our name. But we make a difference. By spreading and educating, we make a difference.
And I have a Twitter account, and then I got a tweet from Sino, which it's short for Socialism is Not an Option Radio. And he's a friend of Mike from Connecticut, hot seat guy, you know. And so we're creating a network. You guys have no idea. I'm surprised we don't have our chat room filled. I sent out the blast. I don't know where people are. I'm hoping that they're phone banking for their candidates, but, you know, or hopefully they have jobs. But I don't know what we can do at this point to boost the rating.
Every one of us that has administrative powers should be burning up the thing there on Patriot Families, sending out messages to get these people. We have all these members. Well, let's get them awakened. Let's get them going here. Let's get them all fired up again like they were to begin with. And let's spread that throughout the Internet on all the – go through Facebook, Breitbart. And there are so many others out there. I don't know. Are you familiar with James O'Keefe? He's another one.
Yes.
He's brilliant. How the hell, after he did the acorn thing, he can still do this stuff and not get caught It's amazing.
I know. I know. Well, he's.
But it also shows how many aren't paying attention.
Oh yeah, he's got divine providence. I must say, at this point, what I do on my Wednesday show, I go in, and I do my the blast around 11 o'clock my time, which is about 2 o'clock you guys' time, and then I take once that comes to my inbox, I just take every patriot that I know in Southern California, and I email that blast to them. Because they're not actually part of Patriot Family, so I have to do it separately. And then at 3:10, my time, before my show goes, I get that link from Blog Talk, an automatic show reminder, and then I send it to the same group of people and say, come. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, you do what you can, and you try to put the topics out there. I did come back, as I said in the chat room today, I got to see the two-hour Atlas Shrugged 2 movie, which was perfect because I had seen the other one last year, the first one, and I'm telling you, this is getting really good, and by the time 3 is done, it's going to be phenomenal. I have the book, didn't get through probably more than 3 chapters because I was, you know, so busy, but it's here when I need it, and I'll be able to follow it much better once I've seen the movie because they're sticking pretty close to it. I know chapter 1 was, or movie 1, so it's really, I mean, they're... The words, oh, guess who's got cameos? You're going to love this. Sean Hannity's got a cameo, Bob Beckel, and Juan Williams. It's hysterical. It is so funny. It's real short, thank God. It's like his panel. You know how he does his panel on his show? It's really cute. But
I don't know how other people take Bob Beckel, but to me, I watch him, and I think it depresses him that he has to get on here live for the Democrats. That he can't tell the truth, you know, so... The look on his face when he's saying things is like it depresses him to tell the truth or have to lie.
I think he's just a blowhard, and I don't know whether I trust him. I don't know what his real agenda is.
I like to watch him debate his brother.
Okay, Rod's sending me an email, but I'm not in my email, so I'm going to have to wait till later.
Bob Beckel has a brother who's a conservative.
Oh, I know.
And he eats Bob up.
He's the one that helped produce. He's the one who helped produce Atlas Shrugged. His brother did. Yeah, and I can't remember his first name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. If you want to really get into this, Rod, you're going to have to call into the show because I'm not in my email box, so I'll get it later. But anyway, the movie, you'll notice if you guys go and see it, because it probably won't be in theaters much longer. You know how they do. They take the good ones out. They talk about, it's called the Fairness Act, and they talk about fair share, and they talk about for the greater good and the common good, which is totally Joseph Stalin on steroids. I mean, all you have to do is read one book about that guy, and you will know where this comes from. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I am looking forward to the debate because I'm going to probably take notes if I can stomach it. Again, thank God for the wine.
I'm going to ask you a question there, Linda.
Yeah.
If Romney wins tonight's debate like he did the last time, what do you think will happen between now and the next 3 weeks from the left?
I don't know. But I do know that the prediction that Glenn made early on his radio show was if Romney takes this one by storm and does a good job, the election's pretty much lost by Obama.
Well, I believe that. Believe that. So that I'm worried about the desperation that will come out of them.
I don't think there's anything left they can do. They just threw Hillary under the bus, and she went along with it, you know, like a sheeple. Because
Hillary's not worried about the future in elections and stuff because she's looking at the IMF and something, a world organization, as for position.
I don't trust her, no matter. But I know why she's doing this. She's not doing this to help him as much as she's doing it because she knows that zero – even though he's stupid, knows where all her bodies are buried. That's why she's doing this. Because they got so much on her and Bill. Oh, please.
If anybody did any kind of research on any of these people, they'd see the list of bodies behind the Clintons dwarfs the list of bodies behind the Obamas.
Well, I think
the
he's
Clintons
running
are
a
more
close
tied,
second.
The Clintons are more tied to the darkness than Obama.
Well, I don't know about that because you can go into who did he there's a lot of people that are on the side that he had something to do with Breitbart's undoing, and that there was at least two people that were his gay lovers way back when got rid of.
But you follow the Whitewater thing on Clinton's and stuff, and you're going to come up with hundreds of bodies.
Oh, I believe it. I absolutely believe it.
They're more tied into the world global organizations than Obama is at the moment. He's just a puppet mouthpiece where they're tied right into him.
That guy is the biggest empty suit I've ever seen on the planet. I mean, talk about a total puppet. And then not only is he a puppet with strings on him, his nose keeps growing, although they must have magic tape because every time he opens his mouth, his nose doesn't hit the screen, which is amazing to me. Because he's so good at lying. I mean, the fertilizer just
only
flows
if he
out
has
of
only if he has a teleprompter on. Without the teleprompter, he's nothing.
And that's true. And every time he goes off prompter and he slips up, his true colors come out, as you know, red with a gold sickle and hammer colors come out.
There are people. I would love to see him or any of these politicians debate on substance and issues and facts and statistics. Lou Dobbs debate any one of them, or Thomas Sowell debate any one of them. These guys will eat these politicians up.
Of course they would. Well, you know that's not going to happen because
they're too smart. They're too smart.
Yeah, the snowballs they'll be ice skating in hell before that happens, and you know it. that's my take on it. What is that?
Well, someone asked me, a leftist guy, asked me, he says, well, what makes you so sure that Thomas Sowell is that smart? I said, do you see him running for office?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's
a
lot
of... True genius never runs for office. I'm sorry. They just don't do it because they see the whole scam of it all.
Right. The only one that I noticed that had the ability to actually carry on a non-prompted speech for 3 minutes was Ron Paul. I do think he's a very smart man, and he's what I discussed with Ron the other day, probably yesterday, that he's untouchable. You can't buy him. He's not for sale. He never has been, and that's what I admire.
He will always be an example. And even though he's never going to get that office, he's going to be an example for people to look at. That someone who was actually as honest as a person I've ever seen in the Congress.
Right. Consistently for 30 plus years.
I'll be honest, when I look at this election, I don't see this election as saving crap. What I look for is to replace Obama and get enough of a slowdown for us to build for 2016 and get somebody in there who's actually going to do what needs done. I'll be honest on another part. I think if Romney gets elected, he's going to try his best to turn the economy around because he's going to want a second term.
Exactly. But here's the thing. He can't stop this Leviathan unless he does the right thing, and he's not going to do that. Because
we'll never be able to do that unless we take the Senate and the Congress. Our main focus should be on that Senate, is taking over
but
that
here's,
Senate.
How many people in both houses and the White House, let's say if Romney gets in and whoever he appoints for his cabinet or whatever, how many of those people do you really think that do not want to uphold this sick system we have? I don't see very many, maybe three. They like the status quo. I'm telling you, they're not going to go up against the Fed. They're not going to go up against Agenda 21 or the health care or any of this garbage and all the wasteful spending that just keeps going. Until we, the people, we got to do something. I'm not talking about a revolt. I'm talking about we've got to build a bigger steamroller, and we got to keep doing our marches. I mean, just keep telling them no.
We have got to continue to stand up, but we've got to build on what it is. And this election may give us that chance to build even bigger and stronger. But we're never going to make a difference until we're going to have to make examples of some of this corruption. We're going to have to take some of these people and throw them in jail. Actually follow the law that they break and throw them in jail. Eric Holder should be in jail. Obama should be in jail. If for nothing else, for aiding and abetting the illegal invasion of the United States.
I know. Oh, he's got so many counts against him. He probably has a worse record than Muhammad Atta. I mean, this guy is unbelievable.
And on the same token, so does Hillary. Hillary has worked with the UN trying to destroy our Constitution to take away our First and Second Amendment rights and 10th and 16th Amendments. And, you know, fighting a cold here.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
So
get one.
People's got to wake up to this fact that, and look at things. Look at what they've all done. You've got, even on the right, you and I both know, we've been in this Agenda 21 thing, and from the get-go, I made sure that you knew this. Both parties
I know.
Are involved in this. So what you were saying is totally correct. It's not going to change unless we, the people
change. Do it. I know. And
we must change it.
We must demand the change. Somehow.
No,
we must change it.
We must change it by electing people in there that are going to do the right things, follow the rules of law, be honest, good
elected representatives
who actually take that serious and look at it as an honor to be a representative of the people.
Exactly,
but
and I agree with you.
Do the people's will,
and
not
when,
your will.
When they get in there, let's say we get a good guy, like is it Murdoch for you guys and Ted Cruz in Texas and people like that? I think
it's
Connie
Murdoch
Mack's
here.
Yeah.
It's Murdoch here to replace Lugar. We've already replaced the other one. And
here's the thing. I remember on Glenn's show, this was like 3-4 weeks ago, or maybe even longer because time keeps flying. I'm too busy phone banking for people and going nuts. Ted Cruz was on Glenn's shows, and he was at the FreePAC thing, and he was talking, and so Glenn says, don't mess up, because we're going to watch you. And Ted Cruz says, I want you to. I mean, he's an honest man. Now, he's probably kind of another Ron Paul. Of course, he hasn't been thrown into the swamp yet. And Glenn looks at him and says, oh, I will. It was great. I'm like...
Here we have a guy on the state. He's on a state position that I'm really very supportive of, and the reasons are, his name is Jim Lucas, and Jim has a passion, and when I say a passion, I mean a love, a pure love for history, the founding fathers, the Constitution, the rule of law, and things like this. He is a compassionate guy. He looks at all people, but he tries to be fair to all. You don't favor one over another. That'll never happen with him. And I wanted him to run for Congress to replace Todd Young because I feel like Todd's just another wimpy Republican following the status quo.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So let's say, for example, that Romney gets in. I'm already in my mind composing a 3-page letter that he will never forget. He may not even read it, but I don't care. It'll get off my chest. And I'll hit him up with everything, and I will say, if you want to repeal Obamacare, don't you dare replace it with anything national, or I will haunt you. When I swear. And then what we have
I agree with him. There were a few parts that should be left there, but they're not nothing to do with the financing and taking money from others.
The
part about if you have a condition already, if you're born with a condition or whatever and stuff like that, that should be covered. There shouldn't be penalties.
I think the argument should be, why are we dealing with all these middlemen, including the government, starting with health insurance, number one, insurance companies who are, for the most part, in large part, crooks as middlemen. They're taking advantage of people. It's stupid. The poor doctors, why can't we go back to the states? Why can't we go back to local communities like it was with education?
That's where it should be, and that's where education should be.
That's why I'm going to tell him I don't want any federal
health care. Who are the 15 bureaucracies that are going to benefit from the $716 billion he's stealing from Medicare?
He's got, 15,000, 16,000 IRS agents that are going to come, you know, knock on your door and force you to buy it, and then they're going to take money out of your account. It's ridiculous. They're the Gestapo.
The SEIU got into home health care stuff. So the SEIU will probably be one of those 15 bureaucracies. Mm. If not them, it'll be their former rep, Andy Stern.
Yeah, and
these
God knows
were the kinds of people.
Yep.
It was supposed to be Bertha Lewis or some representatives of Acorn, you know, or Acorn totally. They were supposed to be one of them until all the foul-ups and stuff. You know, these are the kinds of people he's going to put in charge of deciding what kind of health care you get and how much you're going to pay for it.
Well, yeah, and then we want to know, of course, who's going to be in charge of the death panels? Probably John Holdren and Ezekiel Emanuel.
Oh, it'll be God. Ezekiel Emanuel.
Oh, and there's another one. One of his czars is named John Holdren. He's another one. He's like a clone of George Bernard Shaw with his Fabian socialism, eugenics nonsense. So that's what we have. And what's he got, 40 czars? And they're all left-wing, disgusting scumbags.
And that's Rob's right. Nobody's paying attention. The seniors, in 2014, the cost that comes out for you for Medicare is going to more than double. That's to take care of that $716 billion. First off, you cannot borrow $716 billion from something that is $70 trillion in the hole and come out ahead. There is no way. The math will not work. What you did is now we are $70 trillion, $716 billion in the hole.
The problem is, and I know Ron hit on it, and one of the guys was hitting on it today on the radio shows on the AM radio, talking about literally what they do with all of these, you know, the theft, literal theft. And he was doing, it was kind of like national suicide that I read about 2 or 3 years ago, of the huge, huge government waste programs that sending money to other countries like Madagascar for underwater basket weaving or some god again, pottery classes. I mean, it's just, you know, we're talking about millions and billions of dollars here. And you say, oh, well, 24 million or 24 billion is a drop in the bucket. But you take 300 programs like that, they add up. What? And the reason they're allowed to do this is because we're handing them the keys to the vault. We give them the money. In other words, we're not
you're
standing up for our rights.
You're creating 15 bureaucracies. With $716 billion, you're creating 15 bureaucracies that are going to require funding for how long? See?
Oh, I know. It doesn't
matter. You created 15 more expenses.
Okay. Every time somebody goes to work and they pull out, I'm just talking the federal level, not even your local state stuff, the Social Security, the Medicare, and your FDIC or whatever the heck, I think it's federal income tax or whatever, they're stealing from you. And you are paying for these people to keep, you know, spending like kids in a candy store. If we cut that off, the whole thing would shut down and stop. But nobody gets it because they don't educate themselves. So they think they have to do this.
My state is running opposite of my government. My state did away with the estate tax, the death tax. Did away
wow.
with it. Turned around and the federal government puts it in.
Oh, I know. And they do it every time because Obama is an evil person. I don't care who tells me otherwise. I want you to prove me wrong because I think he's evil. You know, I just do. From his actions, not his heart, but his actions. Boy, do they speak louder.
I believe that. He is arrogant. He has a Jesus syndrome where he thinks he's a god and he's above everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
He's better than everybody else. Well, that's not true. There's nobody better than anybody. I don't care who you are.
The only one.
You breathe the same air I do. You got to do the same things that I have to do. Eat,
that's right.
Live, and pay taxes and things, unless you're a Jeffrey Imelt.
or Warren Buffett.
Then you can run a corporation that doesn't pay no taxes.
Yeah. Well, that's what Atlas Shrugged is about. You guys got to either read that book or see those movies. It's amazing. It just spells it out quite well. It's all central planning. It's all totalitarian statism, which, you know, the several thousands of books I've read, which describes all this stuff, which makes me crazy. And that's what it is. It's totalitarian tyranny and statism, where the central big, whether it's an overlord or it's a New World Order globalist or whatever it is, the UN petty dictators, or even within our own country, it's not good. This is completely the opposite of what the founders wanted for us and what they envisioned for us. So, you know, I'm going to argue for the free market, free government, pure capitalism, which we haven't seen since about 130 years ago, when people actually had ruggedness, you know, rugged individualism. And that was even before, long before Reagan was born, you know, and that's going back some. He was no spring chicken when he died. He was up there, bless his heart. But, you know, I mean, it's, here's my thing. I was going to ask you, on if you were allowed to pose a question to both of the candidates tonight, what would be your first one you'd ask? I got two.
My first question I would ask both candidates, and I'd love to put it in front of the national audience, is, are you supporting the global initiative of Agenda 21?
And then you'd wait for their answer, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what you should do is put a comma and say, and what would you do to stop it?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's good. That would be good.
Yep, absolutely. And my second one, that would be one of mine, but my second one would be, why aren't you telling the American public of the impending financial meltdown that's coming, and you, none of you can stop it because of what's been going on for 120 years in this country? That would be mine, and see how they stutter, because that's all they would be able to do is stutter over their own fertilizer flowing out of their mouths. Ugh. God, they make me tired. You know, we need to challenge both of them. You can't just, I mean, I love it when they find when.
But they're not going to get challenged in these debates.
Huh?
They're not going to get challenged in these debates on substantive things like that. No one's going to question him on, is going to ask Obama about his ties to Monsanto and the Democratic Party's ties to Monsanto.
Nope.
Or. So nobody's going to ask the Republican Party, Romney, why did you guys sign on to Agenda 21 in 1992 with the Democrats?
Yep, absolutely. And why did everybody except three people vote for H.R. 347? And everybody keeps saying, and including yourself, NDAA, Patriot Act, that you would do it the same thing. You know, so I guess you're marching to Lincoln's Libra Code, aren't you? I'd throw that one right in their faces, see what they say, schmucks. No. They will not be challenged. Now, the other time, which was a week and a half ago, when Dirtbag got challenged by Romney, that was the first time in his born days he's ever been challenged by anyone, I think, ever.
Well, he had no teleprompter, nobody to whisper in his ear what to say back. He had to think on his own feet, and he showed that he can't think on his own two feet.
He has to have
a teleprompter or something that's already been preempted.
He has to have something to think with, and he ain't got it. That guy's never had an original thought in his life. I swear to God, he's the biggest empty suit emperor has no clothes I've had the misfortune of witnessing in my lifetime in this country. It's disgusting. I can't even. And to have these polls say that they're that close, it really, really shows you where we are. It shows you what kind of a society we've devolved into.
Like Michael and Rod are talking about in the chat room there about the population control and all these things there. Yeah, you know, these people, they don't really care about the lower or the lower class or the elderly, because they have plans to get rid of both. And those are the people on the bottom that they're using to try to gain their votes are going to be the first people they start getting rid of.
Sure.
Because they don't. You know, there will be no more free handouts.
Yeah. No, there won't be any money for it.
You're gone.
Yeah. And I do believe that Vladimir Lenin called these people that they're using as little pawns for their little votes useful idiots. He had it correct. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry
to say, but they're doing the same thing with the illegals.
I know.
They're using them. They're using them. I'll be honest with you. I've talked to people. Those illegals aren't dumb. They know that the American corporations and the American politicians are only out to use them. They're only useful, like you said, they're useful idiots to them. Mm-hmm. That's how they look at them.
Yep.
They're uneducated, and we can use them for cheap labor, or we can use them for illegal vote to help illegally vote and get somebody elected or something like that. But they're not dumb. They know that. They would rather you stand there and tell them the truth.
Right.
I've stood there and told them.
Good. There's a lot of people in every demographics, whether they're elderly, whether they're the middle class, whether they're Hispanics, and even some black people, except for the you know, the woman that was talking about the Obama phone, I, there's not much hope for her, I don't think. But there are several people. But there are several in all of these different groups. When you take a look at it overall, maybe on average, yeah, no, they're not dumb, and they're waking up, and that's why I think he's. I think Obama's going to lose. That's
you know,
why
I want you to think back when they went to digital TV in this nation.
Huh?
Yeah. Before that, anybody could get a a TV station.
Right.
Anybody. Well, that just for a lot of people, that left still a lot of people without any media, anything, because they didn't buy into the digital or whatever, so they said, hell with it.
Right.
But if you go to the digital, it's all controlled media.
Oh, sure. Oh, my gosh. Oh, they've been doing this, I think, since Reuters was bought out, what, in 1870 by Rothschilds? So
yeah,
we've had a long history of Pravda here. Let's get real. I mean, it's not fun anymore. We know what these guys are. I get better news from Canada Free Press and WND than anything that's on the box in the living room, please. We got to get real smart here. That's why I like to listen to the Beck stuff, and sometimes I'll listen to, you know, my local radio guys here. They pull from everywhere they can, the conservatives. I get news. Roger Hitchcock comes up with stuff that blows me away. Even Levin sometimes. Yeah.
My local radio station, I like to go over there and just beat them with albums or something because they are so programmed. They have no clue of anything. They repeat anything, the left talking points, and that's all they'll say.
I'm very fortunate here.
Know,
I've got a couple really good
and
local
I can
guys.
Understand why nobody else listens to it. And just like the local paper, there's 40-some thousand people in the county, and there's only less than 8,000 people reading the local paper.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When the terrorist attack in Benghazi happened, they were the very next day there was an article about the video and why it was bad
exactly.
And not freedom of speech.
Well,
but there has never since been anything written about that it being a real terrorist attack, and the video had not a damn thing to do with it.
Oh, I know. They lied through their teeth. The thing is, we have two local rag newspapers here. One's called the North County Times, and they're both now owned by the same clown. And the other's the Union Tribune. And basically, I'm sure that their subscriptions are so far down in the tank, especially to have delivered. The shut-ins are the only ones that do it, people that don't have computers, et cetera. The rest of the people probably who have their birds, they just line the bird cages with it. I mean, that's what it's fit for. It's the God's truth. And I'm gonna bring Michael in. Thank you so much, Michael.
Good evening, Linda, and Bill, and everyone in our chat room this evening.
Yes.
Good to have you, Mike.
Good to have you back, Bill. My brother, I hope you are well, and as always, you are always in our prayers, as
yep.
all of the Patriot family members are.
And I thank everybody for those prayers. It was
yeah.
really a big help to my family and to us.
Okay.
And I look to the future, Michael. I have a goal now. You know, it's like telling me, if I'm going to see my dad again, I got to do the right thing. I got to continue to do the right thing, Michael. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it
yep.
everything.
Good. Excellent. So what's your take on the debates, Michael? Or I know you don't care about the political aspect.
Okay. I'll just get right to the point, okay? This may not sound like me, and at this point, I don't care. Screw the debates. If you're watching the debates, it's a waste of time. Listen to me. I have something much more important to tell
okay.
you, okay?
Okay?
It is something that these debates have taken your attention away from, something that they did 33 days ago that has distracted
mm-hmm.
everybody away from what happened so that they're not thinking about, all they're thinking about is debates and presidents and what's going
right.
on here and who's going to vote for this guy and who's going to win. Well, I'll tell you, that is not really what's all that important, because I have said it many times and I'll say it again, okay? The global elite already know who is going to win this.
Right.
Okay? They put in there who they want, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if you research it enough, Mm-hmm. You'll figure that out, but that is not why I called.
Okay.
Something happened 33 days ago that people are not talking about, that people are ignoring, okay? And I'm going to tell you what that is. And I've asked this on several radio shows, and nobody seems to know what happened 33 days ago.
Okay.
You know? But something did happen, and it's something that puts us on the verge. And please do not take this lightly. This is not an opinion. This has been researched, and you can look it up yourself once I tell you what is going on. Okay, what happened 33 days ago was quantitative easing 3. Okay, the fact that Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve are going to spend $40 billion a month indefinitely. There is no end. Now, quantitative easing 1 was $1.2 trillion. Quantitative easing 2 was 700-and-something billion dollars, okay? But when you continue to spend $40 billion a month, and here's what's happening with that money, okay? The money is going to buy mortgage-backed securities. Well, who do they buy those from? They buy them from the banks, okay?
Oh, my God.
The hedge funds. Now, these banks and hedge funds have, because of, I'm blank here again for a second, on the bank thing where they can do 10 times
what they, 10% or 90%?
Right. I forget what the term is for that. But what is going is half of that money is going back through the Treasury Department to pay the interest. They're using Treasury to pay the interest. That money is going in a big circle.
God.
It's going back into the Federal Reserve. But here's the main point about all of this, okay? It is putting money into the economy, okay? It is causing massive inflation. It is causing – we are on the verge. I warned you.
I know.
With all seriousness, we are on the verge of not just regular inflation.
It's hyperinflation.
Okay?
It's horrible.
We have said repeatedly, there is no saving it. There is going to be an economic crash. There's no way around it. We've said that repeatedly. You're talking quantitative easing 3. Heck, they're already talking about quantitative easing 4.
No, it's called quantitative easing forever. That's what they're doing.
Forever, yeah. I agree.
And so that's why I in the beginning or the about after the first 15 minutes of the show, I asked Bill, and I said that the question that I would pose to both of these clown candidates is, why aren't you warning the American public because of your policies in the Federal Reserve, what's going to happen to them with this meltdown? That would be my major question. They would probably have me arrested if I asked it, stupid schmetters.
But Michael brings up an important point here. They're using this money that will give a short-term front looking like, hey, but then it's going to be a quick crash. Am I right, Michael?
Exactly. And not only that, okay, but they don't care. They're buying mortgage-backed securities.
I know, it's ridiculous.
They are purchasing
homes
of American families, okay? Some of these mortgages may be good, but some of them may be empty, and they don't care if these houses sit there empty. They do not want people in single-family homes. They would like to see people in apartment complexes.
Oh, yeah.
Where they
can control them.
And
so,
when they're buying up these mortgages, they're buying up the property.
Exactly.
If you look at Agenda 21, Michael's right. They don't want people in these. They're buying these up so that they can put people out of them and force people into the multi-family units that they're going to be building along interstates for their
Yeah, I know. They're doing
agenda.
It here. Sickening.
Make them dependent upon the government, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because then
everybody should read the Monkey Wrench Gang.
You don't have a choice. You must do You know, yeah. we're gonna try this global thing with our new global money, but the inflation that we have seen since 2008 to right now, okay, that's only 4 years, okay. In the next 6 months, you will see the amount of inflation we've covered in 4 years. You will see again double in the next six months. I promise you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. No, I'm trying to make as many preparations, Michael, as possible every day. I'm doing everything I can. Besides my other work that I'm doing to educate people and doing my, you know, hanging out with the people and trying to see what's going on with my civic, the city hall and the council members and all these things, because I want to hold their feet to the fire. These guys owe me big time because I've been phone banking for them and I'm going to collect at the end of this game, again, you know, there's a method to my madness, and I do care about my city. And I wanted to, I have been going also, because the day will come, I don't know when, because, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future holds for me and my family. But there will come a time when I want to get my buns out of California, and I probably will be heading down to Indiana. But every couple months, just see if there's any decent foreclosures, you know. I don't need a huge house, just maybe 1,400 square feet if there's anything like that around. I don't know what the price ranges are. If there's any people that are sick of, you know, like B of A, sick of holding on to a dead house and then want to sell it and get out of it, sell it cheap, I'll take it.
There's some websites on house foreclosures in Jackson County, Indiana, Washington County, Indiana. There's Indiana Land Company. I can send you all these kinds of information, Linda. And actually, Indiana land-wise is probably cheaper than a lot of places.
Okay, so just
the rural
give me the
areas.
Emails.
Now you get in the cities, it's going to get high.
Well, if I stay in Jackson County, and like out of Seymour, if I go to Freetown or Brownstown, is that good?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So send me the email stuff, and then I'll research.
I think you'd like Brownstown, the area, and there are wineries around and wine clubs and things like that. So hey, you be in.
Yeah, but. How is the Tea Party situation there? Are there people that want to help their communities and
fight
against?
You've got Jim Lucas, who's coming out of Seymour, Indiana. He's gonna be a future. I expect high things out of Jim. I really do.
Awesome. So when the day comes, if I can get out there or whatever, because I can't afford to live in California and I'm so sick of the libtardness here, I'm going to miss the weather and parts of my family and that gorgeous ocean, because that is really a pleasure in summer. But I'm going to need to have groups where we can fight against all the bad, evil
stuff. You will be close to Lisa Deaton.
Cool.
And you will be close to Mark Halliger.
Wow.
So, you know, you got some fighters down in here.
Awesome.
And I'm down in here, and I have my crew all over.
Cool.
You've met a few of them, but
sure.
we're everywhere telling everything.
That's it, yeah. You know, I have larger groups here because we have more people in my town, of course, but we can always go out and recruit. I mean, we can have big sales, and we can have,
We have a Tea Party group in Seymour headed by Jim Stahl.
Good.
And Jim Lucas and Lisa and all of us belong to that same group there. But Lisa does most of the action in this area.
Cool.
And I belong to her group, and she's always got things. They've always got things going on, classes and stuff. And I'd like to start a big Agenda 21 group here in all of southern Indiana. There is one, and I'd like to join it and spread it out.
Because I've got so much information on how to do that. I've got, believe me, I had everything that I could get from Heather Gass and Rosa Chiori and my group. And I've got my file folder, which is not going to go out of date anytime soon because it's still happening. You know what I mean? It's all valuable information. I could bring that to the table as well and explain what needs to be done. That would be amazing. And how to talk to a city council. Or whoever, actually the planning commission, they're the ones you need, and the workshops, they're the ones you need to go after, because you got to nip it before it gets to that vote in the council. I've learned that, because once it's done, and then they're going to put their crap in the streets and the roundabouts, and you have no say anymore. That's what I found out. So you got to watch them like hawks.
I've watched the national scene and what they talk about the crop issue and stuff, And everybody I'm looking at and we're talking to is like, what the hell are they talking about?
Oh, my God.
Because, see, usually we have a whole bunch of land that gets flooded, so the corn's gone from there anyway.
Wow.
Well, that didn't happen. And we didn't get as big a corn crop as we used to getting, but it ain't the worst. And our soybeans were, oh, my God, it should be a bumper crop.
Wow.
I don't know why they're telling the people that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take 15% more of it for biofuels.
Oh, I was reading that whole thing on ethanol.
Which my mechanic told me is destroying engines.
And everything that they're doing is the antithesis of what they should be doing. We should be able to have pure gasoline. This ethanol stuff is evil, and it's driving up the price of food, and it's driving up all the bad costs of energy.
We can give billions to Brazil and other countries to drill for oil, but we shut down all the oil drilling in our country. Another 11,000 some acres that can't be drilled on.
They have closed down at least 80 coal-fired plants to my knowledge. They're planning on closing 300 more that I heard, and 30 of them in Ohio to start. I mean, this is evil. There's no words to put in. I can't even describe it, how bad this is. It's like, are you kidding me with these stupid bolts that catch on fire? And even if you had a Volt car and you plug it in, where's your electricity going to come from when they close down all the damn fire plants?
Well,
it's sickening.
It goes beyond all that even. How much does it cost the taxpayers every time somebody gets a boat, a Chevy boat? How much are we subsidizing? How many GM products did our government buy this year trying to make GM look good?
They're in China. They're building more cars in China than they are here at GM. And the guy, the CEO, said it on a YouTube thing. I'm sure you can find it. I mean, this has been around for a couple months. It's horrible.
I'm kind of proud that Ford didn't have to take a bailout.
Oh, my gosh.
I
know.
That says a lot. And,
right.
GM just lost $20-some billion in China, didn't they?
I'm sure.
And they still owe the public like $28 billion. And
yeah,
they never paid the bondholders.
Nope. Everything they touch turns to, you know what? I mean, it's that simple. And we're sick of it.
Let us be real, Linda. We know that under Agenda 21 in the future,
mm-hmm.
there won't be no personal vehicles.
No.
And where are all them people that work at the car companies going to be working?
They're not. And that's why I think Michael is correct. I don't know how they do all this stuff, but they're pretty clever, the global elitists, and they select the president, and then they decide who's going to get in there. But the thing is, I think the masses of peoples and the YouTubes, I mean, the coal miners are coming out against him, the black preachers are coming out against him, the Catholics are teed off, and now the women are going for Romney because they couldn't stand, you know, Joe Biden auditioning for The Shining the other day.
Farmers are against him.
Mike, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean,
they're,
I know the global elitists have a lot of power, but they can't do mind meld yet. Dang. There's a lot. I mean, I don't know. Unless they're puppeting him so badly. Like Glenn says, he's just too much of a coward to walk out on stage and say, yeah, I'm a Marxist. What are you going to do about it?
Every elitist world leader there has ever been has got to that point where the public came back in their face.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what you're starting to see the beginning of the building up of.
Sure. It's
that
pretty crazy.
People are going to start standing up. And the message on the global issue about Agenda 21 has spread throughout the world now.
It has.
And it's something that we share with all the rest of the world, because this is a global agenda to take over all of us, all over the
yep.
world.
Oh, I know.
And
yeah.
And if we can rise together and around the world in protesting and screaming and hollering, eventually the public's going to know it.
Right. I would be just happy if the entire United States was aware of it. You know, the 320 or 30 million of us were educated and we got loud enough to explain it to them. They'd have to stop it like they did in Alabama, because the people said, no way. And they forced that governor to kick it out of their state. I can't remember who did that.
And
they
the GOP, by their tactics, that won't be forgotten. And the Democrats can say what they want, but let's be real. The Tea Party and all the other organizations tied to them are a major force.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be an even bigger and stronger force in 2016.
Right. Well, this is what I said to Ron the other day. I can't remember whether it was the Sunday or Monday show. And I said, you know, because, of course, he sees zero differences between the two candidates. I says, you know, on the agenda of propping up the failed system, the socialist agenda, the big government, the Federal Reserve, I absolutely agree with him on that part. But I said, if Romney gets elected, and I kind of pray he does, that's going to give us some breathing room. And then from that point forward, we have got to do what you're talking about and what I've been talking about, just get the biggest steamroller we can and go further, farther, faster, and scream louder and say no more and just keep the coalition building. That's, you know, that's where I'm at. I wouldn't waste 5 seconds after he's inaugurated. Not 5 seconds. I would be on him like white on rice.
Well, I ask people this question, and I'd like to ask you, Michael. What would you be doing on November the 7th if Obama wins? And then what will you be doing on November the 7th if Romney wins?
On the 7th, if Obama wins, I'm going to go get a backhoe and build a bunker, number one, and decide whether I'm going to drink Chardonnay or eat my gun. No, I wouldn't do that. But Romney, then, I'll get a big bullhorn and put the top down on my car and go start telling people, hey, hold his feet to the fire and scream louder.
Okay, I like that. Is Michael still there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
So,
to me,
you're going to be doing the same thing no matter who wins, aren't you, Michael?
I'm going to do the same thing because this is all that we can do. This is the reality of it if we think about it. Well, I know everybody wants to do. Everybody has a passion. They want to do as much as we possibly can. The fact of the matter is, in all reality, this is all in God's hands. And yes, we can, as God's people, okay, we can slow down the timeline of
the global elite
and what they are trying to do. But this is destined, in God's word, to, you know, take place, to happen. And although it cannot succeed completely, it can cause great destruction, but we can't.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, it's why I always say Jesus Christ is the greatest asset that you can have above you know, food, guns, weapons, water, anything.
I know. He's a key. He's our king, the only one. He's perfect. I love it.
I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of like Michael. I'll be sitting deep in the woods to see what comes out of whoever wins. Because I think if Obama loses, you're going to see some rioting. I think if Romney wins, you're going to see some rioting. I think if Obama wins, hell, you're liable to go straight into a revolution.
That's true. Yeah, it would be worse if.
Well, I'm going to be sitting safe just to be sure before I react.
But, you know, if Romney wins and the idiots that are, you know, the Obama phone people, there's not that many of them, and I know the cops are going to be ready for this, and whatever they do may not be, you know, to our liking, but at least they'll squelch it. They're not going to rise up. No one's, you know, the conservatives are not going to go running out in the streets and confronting them with, you know, UN type helmets on. I mean, come on.
There's not enough liberals, I think, that would even try to run into the streets and riot. And if they did, it wouldn't take our cops long to put them in their place.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
this show out with Hank Williams Jr.'s song, and I'm telling you, I live out here in the midst of a bunch of them good old country boys like that.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
They know how to survive.
You sure? I think that there might be some real craziness going on if Obama gets back in, because there's a lot of good old boys, like you say, that are not going to stand for that either. And there's a lot more of them than they are the Obama phone chicks. So, I don't know.
Linda.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons, and you know how much I love my politics.
I know.
I 100% do not believe that you will see Obama win again, because it would create such a havoc with the people of the United States and the global elite. That is actually the last thing that they want. They do not want that. They are killing off enough people using fluoride, using drugs, using GMOs.
They're
killing them off plenty slowly but surely at a time.
Don't forget the flu shots.
All of that.
All the vaccinations.
They don't need to have a riot over here where people get killed. They don't need to start a war over here. They are just fine taking people out, you know. So this is – and plus that, Obama double-crossed our Muslim president, double-crossed the global elite, by the way, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, he did.
The pipeline, for one, that was coming down from Canada, supposed to go through the United States.
Right.
And from what I hear, that really ticked them off. So, you know, Romney is going to be our next president. I have no doubt. I am 100%.
I'm not
a big man, but if I was, I'd bet it all.
Can I buy my
He definitely
Port
got on
Rouge
the wrong
camping
side of Maurice Strong with that pipeline move.
Absolutely. So, Michael, I can buy my champagne tomorrow for the occasion?
Absolutely. I mean, and there's no such thing as going out and voting for a lesser of two evils.
I know.
Because these are equal evils.
No,
agree.
That's kind of like, you know, two wrongs don't make a right.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, there's only a few states, I understand, that actually have a write-in that you can actually write a name in where it will count. There's a lot of states where it doesn't count if you write
true.
Ron Paul's name in, you know, or whatever.
That's true. So you guys talk for a second. I'm going to go get something here to drink.
Right.
Hang on. Keep talking.
I keep trying to instill that thought, though, Michael, that taking the Senate, ignoring that first office, the presidency and stuff, the real importance is we must retake that Senate, and we must keep control of that Congress, and we must build up in other states, and hopefully that we can replace some of these people with people who have the same ideologies as us. It's returning to the Constitution, a smaller government with less taxes and less intrusion into our lives.
You guys still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I know that we're watching a circus, a three-ring circus, every time they do this. And I know I've heard this on several shows, Michael, what you were speaking about, the QE3 or the QE forever nonsense. When they came out with that and they just keep marching down this hole, they can't stop it. I don't care who they are at this point, because of our Federal Reserve, you know, horrible monetary system and what they're doing. It's marching towards the cliff, and they can't stop it. Neither one of them.
Exactly, Linda. And I want to just real quickly, you know, I didn't come in here to take over your show.
No, but you're fine.
I do want to make a remark to Rod on something that he put up here as far as the National Defense Authorization Act. Okay. The most dangerous government agency that we have right now is FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency.
DHS.
They have the power to completely disregard 100% our Constitution in making our country safe from terrorists. So they can do whatever they want. I mean, you know, this is they have put so many ugly, evil tools into. I mean, it makes my head even think about the number of things that are out there and what they're doing to people and the plans they have. I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, to put a plan to stop these people. It's like, you know, let's get, you know, 500,000 people and put them, you know, 50 or 100 deep around the Federal Reserve Bank, and let's not let them do business.
There you go. I think we should have more than that, maybe 1.2 million, right around that Fed, right around
yeah.
the big one.
Exactly.
There you go. And say we're done. Say out. You know, then we need another couple million hanging around the UN and say, get this stupid building out of this city and you guys leave.
Well,
we don't want
we need to know where these guys go to hide when everything hits the fan.
Yep.
So that can weld them in and they can never get out.
you can weld them. Hey, Bill, weld them in with napalm.
We can do that. We can make it where they're never going to get out.
That's
let them
right.
go in their little. Let them go in their little survival cubicle, but you ain't
yep.
coming out of it ever.
I'm with you. Can I help you buy the equipment?
I've got a welder.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we need some ICBMs, but I'm sure I'll be carted away in 5 minutes for that remark. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't want to start the revolution. If they want to bring it, I'll help finish it. You know, I'll be Linda Lafayette.
I would rather see the public get educated, the world get educated, and put them out without all the fighting and stuff.
I know. Absolutely.
If everybody woke up, there wouldn't be no fight.
I know.
They would just
fade. Go ahead, Michael. I want to hear how your solution.
We don't have to fight, okay? I know, you know, we only have X number of people in our chat room here, but we could get enough people together that, you know, care about their country, because there are a lot of people that are, you know, don't like Obama and, you know, inflation's too much. But the number of people who really care deep down about God and about their country are not all that many. I'm talking about serious people. These are the people we need to get together. These are the people, even if we risk what we risk, we don't take guns, we take a sign, whatever, and we go out and we do it. Because they do not want this to happen, the global elite. We can slow down this timeline by doing something like this. If we could get someone to start this, gather with the same like mind together,
sure,
could really slow down this timeline.
Yeah,
well, we've started doing that with the Agenda 21, Michael, and that being exposed. That is the agenda. That's the one they're all following, and that's what's got to be exposed. It's the biggest threat to this country and to the world.
I agree with you. I mean, that's part of it.
You look how much the opposition to Agenda 21 has grown in the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
The last 6 years.
You betcha, because it's in the forefront now. Everybody knows about it.
It is. And it keeps spreading.
Oh, Bill, we're just getting started here in California. I've got huge coalitions out here. They are doing stuff you can't even imagine. I mean,
the globe is just getting started.
Yep.
It is now way bigger than it was 4 to 6 years ago. 4 to 6 years ago, it was just a handful of people talking about it. Now there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people, probably millions of people around the globe talking about it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's whole countries who are catching on to the lies about this stuff.
There are even Democrat organizations against it.
Yeah, Rosie Chiori is one of them, and she's brilliant. I've seen her recently on Glenn's show, and that was about a month ago. Man, I was like, whoa, she blew me away, and I'd seen her YouTube stuff and read her pieces and gone to her website. Oh, she's amazing. But she's a libertarian. She's more of a libertarian than she is a Democrat. I mean, she's even said that.
But there's others that are strict Democrats, but they're still looking at it, and they're saying no, 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 no. And they've got organizations. She's just one organization.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the
Independents against it. There's Republicans against it. Yeah,
there's
nonpartisans,
yes. There's people like Tom DeWeese, who has AmericanPolicy.org. There's tons of people. We've got our group, which is Americans Protecting Property Rights. There's people like Jeff Schwick. He goes after the illegal immigrants, but he's very aware of all of these, the cap and trade, the SB 48, which is, you know, talking about the
Because the illegal immigration plays into the agenda.
Yeah.
It's part of the agenda.
Oh, I know. But
check out Frosty Woolridge. He can tell you about it.
Yeah, Jeff, what he does is he's focusing on the ICE agents and being able to have decent constitutional sheriffs so that they can enforce the laws and send these guys back the minute they catch them. That's what we're trying to do here in Southern California, because I'm like 18 miles from the border, you know. So it's pretty nuts here. But, I mean, we've got sanctuary cities from San Diego to L.A. to Sacramento and San Francisco. There's at least four. Isn't that special? And then we have Hugo Moonbeam Brown running us into the ocean. I can't take that man. He's evil. He's a mini-me Mussolini. I swear to God. He is such a fascist. I mean, I'm surprised well, they did it in San Francisco. They were copying Bloom Turd from New York, and they're banning the 32-ounce sodas in San Francisco. So it's headed this way. You watch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that's about the stupidest thing, but I did see where soda companies are now suing Bloomberg for that.
Good.
A man should be allowed to drink as much as a man wants to drink, a pop, a beer, or whatever the hell, as long as he's not hurting other people.
My question is...
This right here is what I'm talking about, intrusion into our lives, wanting to put that healthy food thing in. I've seen how kids eat. I've talked to a lot of kids that are going to school, and they're talking about their lunches, and there ain't none of them happy. As one kid, this is the way one child put it to me. There are kids that's the main meal they get of a day. And by reducing it the way they did, that kid is going without eating.
The whole thing is nuts. Oh, I know. It's craziness. Where do they get the authority under the Constitution to do any of this garbage? They don't have it.
It's not there.
Exactly. I am so sick of this stuff. It's like, I'm not kidding, you guys got to go see both of those movies, Atlas Shrugged and Part 2 as well. I mean, it just spells it all out quite well. You can get the same information from the Ayn Rand Center.
Right now, I've been amazed at all the kinds of movies that have come out in exposing Obama and the whole thing. 2016, yes. a great movie. Atlas Shrugged 2. Yes, many movies are coming out, and there's many books being written, and many more are waking up. And they're waking up to the fact that it's both parties that have been screwing us.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, if you can't see that by now, especially on Patriot Families, then you haven't been paying attention, you know. So,
we've seen the GOP kick the Tea Party in the teeth.
Oh, yeah, they did. Absolutely.
And that won't be forgotten. Yeah, we may have to suck it up during this election and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But come 2016, we won't have to.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people. What do you say?
You could run a Rand Paul Allen West ticket on an independent ticket and probably take it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rand Paul actually, I think, gets it. I don't know his heart, but I think, you know, he understands, and I think that he doesn't fall too far from his father's tree. Because as far as I'm concerned, Ron Paul, he's proven track record. It's not like, oh, you know, he's no flip-flopper. And I want to thank Michael Magic. I know he's dropped off, and thank you so much. And we only have about 15 minutes left, but it was, you know, we're doing great. We still have some time here. And apparently he's in chat, but she's going to use the phone. His wife's going to use the phone. So, Rod, we lost him. But, you know, people are waking up. Even one of my liberal friends, although – It's like every 2 days she changes her mind, you know, and she, I don't know. She read David Limbaugh's book about something about Obama exposing him. I don't remember the exact name of it, because there's been 1,000 books written against him to expose what he is, you know. It's amazing, and she's not going to vote for him. And then I was trying to explain about the Libya thing, and, you know, he's throwing Hillary under the bus, and, of course,
she's driving under the bus.
She's doing it because she knows that they have a Damocles sword holding over these people's heads. Anytime they want to wield it, you know they can. And that's what these people like Hillary and Obama know, that the minute they step out of line, they're done, because they will get their little puppet media to expose them even more so, and have them all carted off to jail. That's why they do what they do, and they stay in line. You know, we've got to figure that out. So at least my friend is not going to vote
does,
for him. The other one's
in the pressure. It does take the pressure off the Benghazi question in a way for on the debate. So, you know, y'all look at if you do it for that. And all these people who keep thinking that her aspirations in 2016 or before then are to be president haven't paid attention to the last 4 years where all all the IMF talk about her.
Oh, my God. And then I've heard also in the chat rooms and the chatter on the internet that Obama thinks he's going to win and he's trying to set Biden up to run in 2016.
Oh, my God. Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, box of rocks Biden. Yeah, he's such a schmendrick. And he's such a hypocrite. And he's such a – he's like a Sadducees and a Pharisees hypocrite. I mean,
did you see
guy,
the Saturday Night Live skit about it?
No, I missed that. I didn't see that.
It was great because they portray Biden as an idiot.
He is. But yet – no, he's cunning. He's not stupid, but he's cunning. He faux pas all the time because he's not bright enough to talk in front of a crowd.
I would have so liked to have been sitting there in Paul Ryan's place and looked at Biden and said, aren't you basically the head of the Senate that hasn't passed a budget in 4 years and has refused to bring up 29 budget proposals that have passed Congress, but you did pick up two of Obama's budgets and not a single Dem voted for him?
And you know what? I'd have nailed him. Paul Ryan had 4 or 5 fabulous chances, and he blew all of them because when Biden took that, you know, because Paul Ryan had he was trying to do the right thing, but he blew it because the first name that came out of his mouth when he said that, you know, several times in our history with presidents, they have lowered the taxes and cut the spending, and it's made everything prosperous. And he started out with – first he said Reagan, and then he said John F. Kennedy, and then Biden jumped on it and says – pulled a Lloyd Benson on him. He pulled a Lloyd Benson on him and said, oh, now you're JFK, and laughed. I tell you, if it was me, I would have says, oh, really, sir? The next time they sequester you for 7 days in a hotel room before your debate, maybe you can read a history book, and I'll show you in the history book where this has happened. I would have nailed him on that. So Joe Biden probably thank
you. I could show him a lot of things that John Kennedy wouldn't, that they have done that John Kennedy wouldn't have not supported.
Absolutely.
John Kennedy would not have fit into the Progressive Party of today.
No, absolutely not. No. He would have fit into the Bill
Clinton
family. I like
how Pat Caddell puts it. This is not the Democratic Party. This is the Progressive Party.
Oh, man. Honey, they're full-on commies at this point, as far as I'm concerned. Look what they're supporting. Look at their platform on the DNC. Holy smokes. No God. You know, full-on Planned Parenthood. I mean, they're just... they're disgusting. There's nothing. It's like the center of the belly of the swamp. It's horrible what they believe in. They might as well just. Well, they have. The Communist Party USA has twice endorsed Obama. Well, I think I lost Bill. Know what happened? Can't get Bill anyway. So I have 12 minutes left, and hopefully he'll call back in. I don't know whether his phone cut out because I didn't touch anything. So. I see in the chat room, Bill, hopefully you're still there. I'm going to share a story with you that was – I said that Michael – oh, here he is. I got him back. Hang in there. Okay. Hey, there you are. What happened?
I have no idea. I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden
– you know, sometimes if that's – do you have like a cell phone or is it a landline?
Cell phone.
Okay. Sometimes mine does that too. It just drops the call. Even if I have strong signals, mine does that, you know – regardless of my minutes or whatever, which now I have unlimited. But there was
unlimited.
I just want to share something with you guys while you're here because it was just so amazing. And I talked to Mike from the hot seat, and I says, now, can I have permission from the guy calls himself One Angry Jew, and I don't even know what state he's from, but he's been around the world, and he knows quite a few things. And he's an airline – or not an airline, but a private pilot – and he's done business in Thailand and lived there, and he studies – he has friends who live in Venezuela. And do sometimes they live there. Sometimes, you know, I don't know whether they're dual citizenships, but they do business there. So they've seen the hell that goes on under Hugo Chavez. And one of the stories was that this businessman said after Chavez took over – you know, we have a middle class like here in this country, and you've got maybe a life insurance policy, you got a house and a car and a family, and you got a job, and you're making X amount of money, whatever, and you're considered middle class. Well, once you get someone like that in, like a statist like Chavez, who's a complete totalitarian, you're going to live in a tent, because that's what's going on in Venezuela. So if you want to live like that, then you vote for Barack Obama. And he said, he was talking about whichever one gets in, he wants to go back to Thailand. But he says, if Obama gets elected, he says, I want you guys to get your passports and follow me, because you're going to hate what's going to happen to you. I mean, it's pretty scary. And I kind of agree with him on that. But what he told the story was, he was going to, from Philadelphia, I think it was, to New York City to meet some people and go to dinner and do things. And he had his 5-year-old son in one big suitcase with the rollers, you know, and the little handle. And he was going to try to save some money. He went to a bus, one of these big brand new buses. They got air conditioning and they got the Wi-Fi plugins and all that stuff, right? And they're fairly new, so the seats are comfortable and all this stuff. Okay. So he gets there. It's 95 degrees sometime in June, I think it was. And this was probably in Philly. Hotter than H. It was 3:15 in the afternoon. And you had to have reservations. And the next bus wasn't coming till like 4 or 4:10. So there's this full capacity, people standing in line. And he was one of the first in line. And he figured that something was wrong. And when the bus driver didn't open the door right away, and her clipboard was up there, and maybe she was talking on the phone to headquarters or whatever, she comes out and says, well, we got a problem, we can get there, but there's no air conditioning, the electricity's gone, and you can't use your Wi-Fi, and you can't use this, and all that stuff. And it's 95, and he took his son by the hand and got his suitcase and walked a half a block, mind you, to the train station, paid some more money, and took a nice, comfortable train to his destination. He looked over his shoulder and he says, I was the only one. The rest of them got on that hot tube. Can you believe how sheeple we have become? When he told that story, I said, oh, my God.
Well, sadly, it's true.
I couldn't believe it.
It is so true. People, I don't want to say they're indifferent. They're just so absorbed in their own little world.
I think that, you know,
that they
think,
don't look around them to see what's
right.
Really happening in the reality.
I have a block. My mother could do a half a block. She's almost 90. This is crazy. I think they're so conditioned, Bill, that they've mission accomplished. They've conditioned the hell out of us, except for those us who actually think outside the box and know how to take care of ourselves. Even trying,
well,
with that mindset.
But they don't here's what they don't realize. They had a large part in creating me.
Yes.
Yeah. They trained me. They made me what I am.
Right.
And
it's amazing.
And what I've done is I've turned around and said, okay, I'm still going to be a warrior, but I'm never going to be a warrior for those people who hate.
Well, the thing is, these poor kids that are in the military already, okay, God bless them, but they are being used. So, I mean, talk about being used. That is just, to me, heinous what they do to these kids, and they have been doing it since World War I, and you know it. You know this is wrong what they do. They do their false flags. They play their chess games, and they just sacrifice these kids. I'm sick of it.
Exactly.
And we pay for it. You and I pay for it. Isn't that lovely?
If a lot of the public woke up to the fact that the reason that so many of us are out there is for the kids, we're out here fighting to save the future for the kids.
Well,
and that there, if we could get that message out there, you would have a lot more people joining in with us, because they would understand then.
Bill, you can go back to the founders. They did it for posterity as well. Do you think they just did it for them? Oh, my God. They pledged their whole lives for it. They knew they could die any second. They didn't care. They knew what was right. They did it for principle and what was right.
What was
and
right.
Character and non-cowardice. They did it for values
and
God.
When you can't follow what's right, then you try to change it and make what's right wrong and what's wrong right. And that's what we see in this country. A sad state. That's what we see in this country. If someone's buck religious book calls it a sin, like the Bible does some things, well, then we're going to change that, or we're going to throw them people out because we got to make that not a sin.
I know, it's pretty crazy. The one black preacher that I saw on Facebook, I'm pretty sure Terry had sent it around to everybody, Terry Kiley, and the black preacher for about 12 minutes was going on and on, and he laid it out better than Glenn Beck's ever done. I mean, he was perfect, absolutely perfect, talking about values in the Bible, and he says, and they're vilifying us, and they're trying to shut us down, and he says, we've got to take a stand. We do believe in God, and we do believe in our values, and we do believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, you know.
Well, you're in California, and when Prop 8 was passed, the majority of blacks supported it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's nuts.
And
oh, California.
I don't know how people think, well, they're not, because I've been around a lot of people of different colors, different denominations, minorities, whatever, in churches, and when we're in church and we're all praying to the same God, the same Jesus, and
yep,
and we're all brothers and sisters regardless of color.
Oh yeah, no, these guys, well, he actually talked about the KKK and talked about Planned Parenthood, and he talked about how many black people were thrown under the bus because of that, because of the black eugenics and, you know, going against the minorities. Oh, he laid it out beautifully. This guy was wonderful. And I've heard many, many preachers now. There were 3,000 of them in this, it's called Pulpit Freedom. And they're trying to, they've sent their sermons, several of them, to the IRS to just try to take it to the Supreme Court so that they can.
They want the IRS to come after them, to sue them, so they can take them to court.
And they won't.
Beat the IRS under freedom of speech.
Absolutely, and they won't do it because they're cowards, and because they know they're wrong, and they know they're going to lose. That's why
the pastor here said he couldn't do it from the pulpit, so he stepped down. He took them outside and he told them out there.
Good for him. Oh, so did George Whitfield, by the way.
It is spreading in the churches around my area. It is spreading more there than it is to the political system.
Do you know that that's what George Whitfield did, because they kicked him out of the church and he just took it to the hilltops and he says, well, I'll do what Jesus did and I'll go on top of a hill and have my flock. And he had 10,000 people in front of him and he had such a booming voice, this little tiny dude. And he preached, and it took 30, 35 years, and that's what started the revolution, because they had a spiritual awakening because of people like George Whitfield. And that's all.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And
anyway,
more people are getting the message through the churches now than are getting
God.
It through the media.
Thank God. Absolutely.
And, it's amazing, and I'm proud, because I feel like the churches are finally doing something that God would want them to do.
Sure. Oh, they should.
If you can't defend God, you can't expect God to defend you.
Yep.
And you're protecting the children's future by preserving God when you stand up for God.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about doing it for the kids, I'm doing it for posterity for this entire nation from as many hundreds of years as we can keep it going. And I'm doing it for the memory and the honor of the founders.
The children, I do it, Linda, for the children and for those that aren't able to do it for themselves, to
right.
be protective of them.
And I owe this to people like Lafayette and George Washington and Benjamin Rush and the rest of them. I do. I absolutely do. I feel that in my heart. Look what they did for me.
I do this because in my heart, 100% in my heart, I overwhelmingly believe with all of my heart that this is what God wants me to do.
You betcha.
I'm going to follow the path that he lays out.
You got it. Thank you so much, Bill. And I'm so glad you're back on the air. I'm excited. And I'm going to do a little rundown in maybe a minute or two. And I'm just, God bless you and your whole family. You say hello to everybody back there. And send me the emails on your Indiana real estate, because that's something coming up in the future. I don't know when, but we'll keep thinking about it and preparing. And
okay,
we got.
Thank you for all that you do, Linda, so much. And thank
You're
Michael
welcome.
And Rod and everybody else. And God bless. And don't give up. We're just we're turning the tide. Don't give up.
We're just getting started, baby.
Amen.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you. God bless. And catch my show tomorrow right from the left coast, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we will have a great time. I'm going to take it out with a couple little bits of music here, and we will see you tomorrow night. Love you guys. God bless.
quantity and no quality will be discipline.
They call the passage of this bill Armageddon.